providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
For the second half of KER Politics, got a really interesting guest on the line right now. His name is Bill Reed. Bill is an author, a best-selling author. Actually, Bill's official name is W. Craig Reed. Very interesting man. He has written a best-selling book entitled Spies of the Deep, very definitely nonfiction. It talks about his theory that Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran are basically plotting against the United States. Jimmy is on the line with me right now. Jim and I spent a fair amount of time yesterday off mic talking to Bill, and I have to say that Bill's philosophy with all of the investigative reporting that he's done makes an awful lot of sense to us. Bill, rather than me introduce you or Jimmy introduce you, please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, would you?
Certainly. I served as a submariner and a Navy diver back during the Cold War and kept in contact with a number of my fellow shipmates, but also those within the community. One of the officers I served aboard later became the NATO commander, the admiral in charge of all NATO submarine operations, and a number of others that I kept in contact with through the community and then through a technology marketing career, and then writing a number of different books. Red November was one of those. Hit the New York Times bestselling list, got lucky. And Spies of the Deep is the latest one that I believe tells the truth about what really happened to the cursed submarine and how that set us up for where we are today.
So, Bill, tell us a little bit of the detail on what happened with the Kursk. I mean, you know, briefly, and kind of what the point, what you're trying to express with the book, Spies of the Deep.
Certainly. Well, I mentioned that I was a submariner, and on one of the missions I was on back during the Cold War, we snuck into a Russian harbor. I couldn't talk about it for decades. And we accidentally ran into a Russian submarine, crushed our sail. They depth charged and torpedoed us. So very familiar with almost not making it back. And when I heard about the Kursk going down in August 2000, it hit all of us in the submarine Navy pretty hard, even though we'd once been enemies. But during that time frame, the details we were given by the Russians and the U.S., I knew were not correct. I knew they were covering something up. Just no question about it. I knew the U.S., Memphis and Toledo submarines had been very nearby during this accident, and they weren't talking about this. It took me 20 years to uncover the truth, but I finally did get people to come forward and talk, and that's what's in the book.
Bill, let's talk a little bit about the truth. If your theory is correct, and I'm not saying it is or it isn't, it sounds very plausible to me, I would have to say that, but let's talk about why Vladimir Putin and Russia is so dangerous in your mind to the United States right now?
Well, we have to go back to August of 99. Putin only had 2% of the vote to be president, and the Kursk submarine went on a top secret mission and got very close to an aircraft carrier we've heard about in the news recently, the Theodore Roosevelt. We've heard about it about COVID. And because of that mission success, Putin congratulated the captain in person, went down to the pier, became an honorary submariner. Putin's father was a submariner. He used that platform to propel himself to 53% of the vote in March. And 6 months later, the Kursk went down. That almost destroyed his career before it got started, but he cleverly found a way to use that to wrest control from oligarchs, gain control of energy organizations, and then fuel a much needed economic recovery in Russia, and then propelled them toward a new Cold War that we're in today with them. It's looking like it's going to be a lot hotter than the last one.
You know, Bill, you know, as I mentioned off mic and what some of the listeners know, I'm a Russian foreign area officer, Eastern European, Central Asian Russian foreign area officer. And I, in the late 90s and the early 2000s, I was throughout Moscow, St. Petersburg, and of course, prior to that, I'd been in Berlin at the end of the Cold War, right when the Soviet Union collapsed. There was a series of events that happened in that 99 until, you know, 2000 time frame, over about a year, year and a half, as Putin was coming to power. The Kursk was a major strategy. There was a fire in the Moscow telecom tower. You had multiple attacks on apartment buildings that's blamed on Chechen rebels, but it's some unclear and very nefarious issues. And you had the second Chechen war going on. How, in your mind, did those help Putin achieve more consolidated power? And what did he do in order to, like, actually clamp down in those periods of time to actually gain power?
I do talk about that in the book, that these were things that he was leveraging, of course, to gain power while storming on that platform, if you will, to rebuild Russia, but looking to blame others. And part of that was creating fear so that his approach could work. Fear that we had enemies that were going to attack us, as he would say. And that allowed him to say, I'm going to rebuild. And I was a KGB colonel, and my father was a submariner. I understand what we need to do. Look at what the Kursk did. I'm going to rebuild Russia, that greatness, so we don't get attacked and have these terrorist attacks and so on. And that's what really propelled him to power. But also what happened was we sent a spy, Edmund Pope, to gain new information on this new rocket torpedo they had developed, the Shval. And we were close to getting that information and actually buying some of these. 8 days after Putin came to power, he threw Pope into prison. It hadn't been done since the 50s. And that put an end to it. And so we were forced to send our submarines to get very close to the Kursk to get espionage information on this new rocket torpedo.
You know, Bill, after our conversation yesterday and reading a little bit about your book and your philosophy or your thoughts, I guess I should say, on this, really it isn't just Russia that represents the threat right now. It's a combination of Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. Now, it's a pretty well accepted fact right now that America and the European Union are pretty much in an economic war with all of these countries. Maybe not so much North Korea and Iran, but certainly China and Russia. What's the worst case scenario, in your opinion, that could happen as a result of this unofficial conflict?
Well, it's been Putin's agenda, and certainly China as well, to try to move away from what we call the petrodollar. We went off the gold standard in the 70s with Nixon's move to take us off gold. And that became a way for us to gain control, if you will, of economic agendas. All energy trades were done with U.S. dollars. It's just been that way. Well, over the past decade, Putin has seen this as being detrimental because we can tighten screws through economic sanctions. And he and, of course, the Chinese would prefer that not to be the case. So they'd like to move to the petro-yuan, petro-ruble, if you will, and have made a number of moves in that direction. So we're at war with them in that respect. If they get their way, if we think we've had a tough time during the pandemic economically, it could be far worse.
I want to talk about, in your opinion, why it could be far worse. Unfortunately, we have a little bit of a time constraint in this first scenario here, this first segment here. We have only about 30 seconds left before we have to take a commercial break. So I'd like you to think a little bit, if you would, about the danger of these four countries all pretty much ganging up on the United States. And do you think that our current president, who's up for re-election in November, would be the best one to handle this particular situation as a leader, as opposed to his opponent, who is obviously sleepy Joe Biden? I want you to think about that just a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, retired Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Jim McKinney, and I will be right back with our guest, best-selling author Bill Reed.